I'm Van.
I'm Zori.
That's Booby.
Culpy and Chip and Ghosty.
Horn.
Adidas.
Do you know what Adidas stands for?
I mean, I heard people talking about... Actually, you know what? I mean, I've heard that it stands for All Day I Dream About Sex. But that can't really be what it is.
That is exactly what it is.
Adidas, the shoe brand, the...
No. They just made it that. I mean, Adidas has been out for quite some time.
Okay, but... I remember... When did this song come out?
96, 96. Life is Peachy? Must have been 96, yeah.
Okay, so when this came out, I was like 11 years old. Yeah. And I remember the kids in the neighborhood talking about it. They were like, oh, you know what Adidas stands for? And I remember them saying all day. I was like, what? I was like,
you were like that?
What?
You had a problem with it?
No, that they were saying that? Yeah I did. Well, when you first find out, because I found out about sex when I was like 12, so like, and it was right about that time when they were saying it, and so it wasn't like, it wasn't something that was super appealing to me. It was like, what? Why would people do that? And then it was just seemed just...
96, that was...
The Life is Peachy, and people were going around saying, Life is Peachy, all over the place.
Yeah, that was Korn. I didn't know any of this stuff until I started listening to Korn, which is like years later.
Really?
Like 99, yeah. Well, it was only 3 years later, actually. What am I talking about? This is the height of the Tupac Biggie thing. I was listening to rap, mm-hmm. like, you know, 8 hours a day. I didn't know anything about this stuff. But, yeah.
I just heard people saying that and Life is Peachy all over the place. And then I remember hearing people saying Children of the Corn. Corn this,
yeah,
corn that.
So Children of the Corn was on the next record.
Yeah.
Which was Follow the Leader, which was the big one. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God.
So I heard, but I didn't know anything. I never heard the music. I never heard the song.
Yeah, so here it is. Okay. This is a legendary song. Adidas by Korn.
And go.
Yes, all day. I dream about sex. All day. I dream about sex. Yes, all day. I dream about sex and only. I dream about sex and only. I dream about sex all day. I dream about sex. All day. I dream about sex.
Okay, I can totally see why the kids in the neighborhood were like about it. It's super immature. And it like doesn't really go anywhere lyrically. It's just very basic.
Nope. That's
oh my gosh. The immaturity was like way up there. Ah, wow. Okay.
See, I never blasted this song in my room. So like I had Slipknot, you know, it's not called a new Nash. Surfacing is what it's called. Fuck this world, fuck everything you stand for. Da 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 da. I would never play this song. Ever.
Why?
I didn't want to have those conversations with my mom. Like, because at the time, everybody was like, yo, let him play his music and talk to him about his music. So sometimes she'd be like, what do you mean, fuck the world? What are you talking about? You know, she was trying to be that understanding parent.
Yeah.
But there was no way in hell I was going to play this song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I wasn't going to... That whole... My mom was a registered nurse, so... When she sat me and my brothers down for the sex conversation, it was extremely academic. And it was... And my mom didn't really have, like, she wasn't embarrassed about the topic at all.
Mm-hmm.
So she would say, yeah, put your penis in it. And I was like, whoa, what are you saying? And then, of course, she then stacked it on top of an STD AIDS terrorism video where you were watching this guy and he was dying. And by the end of the thing, he died. And she was showing us videos that she showed because she was teaching people, you know. So she was showing the videos that she showed her students and all that. So, like, I don't know. Me and my brothers never talked. Never. We had never had one conversation about sex ever. So I don't know how it made them, but it made me. I was like, this. I can't. This is in Florida. I was like 10, 11 years old. I was like, I cannot believe that people voluntarily take part in such an action.
Disgusting thing.
You know, I was about my sports, you know, and I was a board, you know, that's what I was about.
Like, yeah.
I was, you know, and then, then I hit New York City and things changed for me very drastically, very quickly.
Suddenly this was your theme song?
Well, I mean, I've never been like this, I mean, you know me, like, I'm not this guy, you know what I'm saying, like, I'm not, but there was a particular phase where it went from, you know, the crazy girl in Persephone and listening to music at the steps, you know, like, to New York. It's just different. The girls were extremely aggressive. They were just as aggressive as the dudes were, and I was like caught off guard. And then it was like, hey, we're gonna do this. I'm like, yeah, sure. I was like, sure. I was, you know, and then I showed up and stuff. I was like, whoa, this is different, you know. So then things changed for me, you know what I'm saying? I don't think I was ever like this type of person. But what's funny is that he's talking about dreaming of something I can never be.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is their second record.
Mm-hmm.
So, he was still kind of in that, and they made the records pretty close. Like, the self-titled record was written in 95, and then a year later this came out. So, he wasn't like a major, gigantic rock star yet.
Mm-hmm.
So, my point is, I think the less access you have to sex, then the more you dream about it. Whereas the more access you have to sex, the less you dream about it.
Yeah, probably.
So, you know, later on, he's making songs like Trash, where he feels bad for his, you know, sexual escapades. But that's two records later, after he had felt the pinnacle of being a rock star. Like, they ruled the freaking planet. So, I think that you become, you know, it's like I always say, like, if you're in a desert, you become obsessed with water. If you're in an oasis, you become obsessed with, you know, vacation or something. Like, you just don't care about water as much if you live by a bunch of water. But if you're in a desert, then water is going to be the thing that occupies your mind.
Yeah.
You know, which is why, you know, a lot of the descriptions of heaven from the Islamic perspective are, you know, green couches and shade, you know, eternal shade and things like that. And it's because they were in the desert.
Right.
So, it's, you know, you didn't see a lot of greenery. You didn't see a lot of that stuff, you know?
Right, so it's yeah. Like, so if you're talking to somebody in Alaska, shade might not be what they want.
Exactly. In Alaska, none of that stuff is going to, you know, shade. Who cares? You know, mm-hmm. Alaska, it's going to be, heaven is going to be you're by a fire or something like that, right? So whatever you lack is whatever you become obsessed about. So I think during this, because he wasn't a very popular guy. He was not a ladies' man at the time, right?
Yeah.
So.
Well, yeah, because he said that he's always the pimp in all his fantasies.
Right. But it's the only way he could be free from reality, so then he starts touching himself or whatever, right? So, like, it just seems to me that if you're a person who, you know, lacks the ability to have access to a sexual partner, how to say that without sounding really weird, but if you're a person that doesn't have the ability to just, then you're gonna be more obsessed about, you're gonna be obsessed with sex because, you know, whatever. Whereas,
I mean, I could have had those types of relationships growing up, but because of the teaching that I got growing up, like, it was like, no, like, everything's off the table. And honestly, I think that the way that it was presented and taught just made me more obsessed with it.
Right. I agree. But again, I'm not, what I'm saying, that you were deprived in that sense, right? Because they restricted it, so then it made you more obsessive about it. Whereas if they said, well, yeah, I mean, it's part of life, and this is what happens, and this is how it goes, and it's not smart to do it, especially as a female, here's why, da da da, then it would be different. Mm-hmm. Some people are just disposed to certain things, right? Like, so, like, you have kleptomaniacs, so they're, like, disposed to thievery. So, mm-hmm. There are people that are just disposed to, you know, to things. So, I'm not discounting that. It seems to me that, like, what you said, like, kind of proved the point. Like, mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I was agreeing with you.
Sometimes it's because you can't get somebody, and the other time, like, you would have no problem with getting somebody, but then, you know, there was all this fear that was mm-hmm. gated around it so as to not have you go off and you know, do that stuff. So.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, when it was talked about, really, the STD thing was, like, secondary. Like, that was...
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, the STD thing was primary. You're going to get AIDS and die. And then the other thing was, my mom was like, you don't want to, actually, I remember her saying this to my older brother because she didn't think I was going to be able to have kids. So she never used this threat with me, but I remember her telling my older brother, like, you don't want to have no girl pregnant, you know, and then you have to marry her. And, well, of course, now I know, like, no, you don't have to marry her just because she's pregnant. But, mm-hmm. you know, like he, you know, and... So that was like a big thing for him, and I remember like he was really, she never said that to me because she never thought I was going to have kids. Now I'm thinking about it, like she never, but the STD thing, that was big, like, you're going to get AIDS and die, you're not going to be able to, you know, and then nobody will want to be with you and da 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 da. So that was like, what was the big threat for you? You go to hell? They'll kick you out?
I'm going
to
get pregnant and get kicked out.
Oh, you get, he's going to kick you out if you're pregnant?
Yeah.
Law.
Yep. You'll be out. Out.
Good God. Yeah. The way that my mom handled it, I gotta say, it's not the most politically expedient way to handle it, but I actually appreciate the way that my mom handled it because mm-hmm. it did influence a lot of my decisions, even like when I and it was crazy because at the end she's like, she basically said, I know you're gonna be curious and da 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 da, so make sure you don't do anything without a condom or whatever. She put it in there like as just a mm-hmm. I know you'll be curious, so you might fall into it. So mm-hmm. she spent the time terrorizing us. She was theologizing the whole nine yards, and then she basically said, what are you probably gonna end up doing? So you know. She basically said, like, anytime you need condoms, you know, come to me, blah, 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 which was, we were never going to do that, but, you know.
Yeah, no.
Jamie was a mama's boy, but even he wouldn't, I don't think he would. I think he was too young to even remember the conversation, but. So I really respect the way my mom did it, because it wasn't your conventional Christian, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. It was pretty straightforward, and like, to this day, like, I, you know, I'm glad that it was only one conversation, but it was a very freaking powerful conversation, and it kept me diseaseless and childless for my high school career, and for that I appreciate. And if it wasn't for my mom, things would have went a lot different for me, for sure. Because once the Pandora's box is open, I was like, wait a second. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. You know what I mean? So shout out to my mom for that. I appreciate you. But yeah, Junior, he's just not that type of guy. You know, he's like from another planet, my older brother. You know, like he's like the exact opposite of me. You guys would like him if he ever showed up on one of these. Maybe I'll get him to do a guest appearance.
Oh, you should.
He's gonna come visit. I'll probably have him do a guest appearance at some point.
Yeah, you should.
A video review with Vin's brother. Well, actually, what am I talking? He couldn't. So we'd have to black him out.
Yeah, you don't have to show him.
Yeah, then what would be the point of doing the review?
That's no, I get to hear him and hear his thoughts to see how does Vin's brother, does he think like Vin or no? Or
yeah,
I think.
I might try to get him to do it.
Like Vlad, we'll have him sit over there.
Yeah, we'll do it like Vlad. Yeah, that's a good point. So, yeah, it's an iconic song. You know what's interesting on a serious note? Like, you could kind of hear, because Korn before this, it was all about rah, 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 and, like, you could kind of hear some melody creeping in. All day. Like,
yep.
And it kind of stays with you. Like, Jonathan had that poppy, like, stays in your head type melody thing happening, and it really like broke out in the next record.
Oh, really?
Record with "Got the Life" and "Freak on a Leash" and all the rest of it. So it's like it really blew up after that. After that, like the melody stuff really. But Jonathan was really one of the first guys to take nu metal to that next level. You know, like, okay, now we can sing. It's not just da-dum, 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 da-dum. Mm-hmm. So, and it's funny because my brother got me this record, Life
Is
Peachy. He got me, that Christmas was pretty good. He got me the Biggie record, and he got me Life Is Peachy. So, shout out to my brother. Yeah, the Life After Death, the Biggie one. It was in I think it was 90... It was 99. So Woodstock had happened. I'd become a Korn fan, but I only had Korn to listen. I only had, let's see. I had Follow the Leader was my first ever record. Then I bought Issues. Then I bought the first Korn record. And then that Christmas, he got me Life Is Peachy.
Oh, that must have been exciting then.
Yeah. And it was crazy. Like, that was, at the time, it was my least favorite Korn record.
Oh, really?
Yeah, people were like, oh, they sucked after Life Is Peachy. I thought that Follow Leader was way better than Life Is Peachy. Like, that, not even, literally, like, not even comparable as far as how good it was. But obviously this song was a really, really big one.
Oh, if I heard about it in my neighborhood, the thing must have been huge.
Yeah.
The one thing that I do think about is, you know, because he has... On this record, I don't know any of these other songs, but Swallow and Porno Creep and, like, I think that there's a healthy, like, dreaming about sex, and then there's an unhealthy dreaming about sex. And when he's saying, yes, all day I dream about sex, all day I dream about fucking, he's just going on and on saying it. Like, I don't know what sort of headspace he was in, but, like, you know, like, when people will get, like, you know, they like... Porn becomes obsessive. They become really, really obsessive, and it like sickens their mind and stuff. And then like it's all they're thinking about. And so like, you know, they might see something that doesn't have anything to do with sex, and all of a sudden they're thinking about sex because they see that thing.
Right, like you including the term swallow. Swallow has nothing to do with sex whatsoever.
Well, stuff like that. Yeah. I don't know what the songs are, but that one. Yeah.
My sorrow, I swallow. He's talking about his depression.
Yeah, but you have four. Swallow, five. Porno Creep. Is Porno Creep something else too?
No, Porno Creep is about porn, but.
But anyway, like just.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My sorrow, I swallow. Follow me, oh hell no.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Terror so pure right now. Like it has nothing to do with that, but yeah. Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
So I don't know where the guy was at that
Jonathan?
That time. Yeah, Jonathan. I don't know where he was at that time. Like, if it was something that he was, like, was he having a problem with it? You know what I mean?
No.
Or was he just a fun song to write? Or?
Well, I just think it's about being young. Like, when you're young and you get introduced to the concept of sexuality, but then you don't have access to it, it becomes obsessive. And then there's so much mystery around the topic. That's why, you know, when I have conversation with the boys, I'm extremely explicit. Mm-hmm. And but at simultaneously very nonchalant, like that's been my strategy, because one is they have access to that stuff anyway. It's 2019, and mm-hmm. unless you're gonna completely, you know, watch them 24/7, they have access to it. Right. So the best thing to do is demystify it. But when you create all this mystery and fear around it, then it becomes like this mm-hmm. thing that people start obsessing over. But I agree. I mean, there have been like. What is it like? Not Nebraska. Arizona declared pornography a public health crisis.
Right.
There had been a couple of them, and then, you know, Minnesota, you know, last year they had to open up a, you know, we've got to do a comparison between, you know, pornography and sex trafficking and see what's going on. So, like, I agree. Like, it's one of the most basic human instincts. That is extremely powerful. Mm-hmm. That if you know, like, there are two ditches to fall in when it comes to the topic. Like, one ditch is to say, "Oh my God, it's fearful, it's terrible, and you should scare the hell out of kids and tell them every horrible thing imaginable and keep them away from it and tell them they're going to go straight to hell and da 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 da." And the other ditch is to say, "Oh, it's just as." You know, mm-hmm. it's just like opening up a bottle of juice. Like, yeah, it's just a normal human.
You have to test drive it before you buy the car.
Yeah, like this kind of nonchalant, kind of like, like, no, both of those are bullshit. Like, mm-hmm. you're not gonna immediately like disintegrate into a pile of ash if you have a bunch of, you know, promiscuous sex. But at the same time, it's not to be trifled with either. It's a super, super intimate metaphysical act that stays with you forever.
Right.
And people need to know that, like, you right. know, all the, that's why I said, like, a lot of this Me Too shit, like, if you look at the Aziz Ansari situation where he did everything right, but she still felt violated. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because we all know it's more than just, you know, bodies at work, which people, you know, you got people on the other side of the ditch that are trying like mad to convince us that it's just a biological act.
Yep.
And they're trying to rip all the metaphysical ramifications out of it. That's not true. It's just not true. There are major metaphysical implications to that act that, you know, that stay with you. At the same time, it is natural. It is something that practically everybody does, and that you've got to make sure that you're. So balancing it out is always been difficult, and it's a hard thing to do. Like, I get it, but falling on the side of either one of those dishes, I think is dangerous,
mm-hmm.
and both of them are dishonest.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but both groups have a vested interest in repeating those lies. So, like, super religious people, or even like super traditional people, have a vested interest in lying to people about sexuality, and sexually permissive people have their own agendas as to why lying to kids about, you know, mm-hmm. I was lied to when I was in high school. They lied to us about sex. So, oh yeah, they basically like, oh, it's fun, and don't listen to those people telling you not to. And don't, you know, there's abstinence only education, which I don't think is completely the way to go, but the way that we were taught, you know, it was crazy. They were showing us how to, it's like, I remember coming in gym, you know, because instead of doing, I remember it very clearly because I wanted to play ball, and then we were having this, you know, person from wherever outside of the school, shoot, it's probably Planned Parenthood for all I know, but they were coming in with these magazines and showing us shit and all this. And
are you serious?
Yeah, and then we were all like watching it being like, well, shit. And then you would go to your locker.
Oh my gosh.
And then you're like, I want to go see my girlfriend now. Like, it was like not, it was in the way they were talking, just this flipping, just make sure you had your cotton. It was this big joke. And
oh my
you guys
gosh.
Are, yeah, it was terrible. Most of us after that, we were like, yo. And I remember it was this big thing at the lunchroom for a long time. Like, everybody was talking about, yo, did you have that? That lady showed up and da-da-da-da. And she had her own vegetables and shit. Like, it was no joke. Like, it was crazy. Yeah, it was crazy. You know, and...
See, yeah.
We loved it. We were like, hey, yeah. Oh,
sure.
And hey, hey.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, but... Now, of course, looking back now, like that, the way they talked to us about it, it was a lot. They made it seem like, oh, it's just some bodily whatever. And nobody talked to us about the emotional ramifications. Yeah. Nobody talked to us about any of that shit. Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, I agree with you. It has to be a balance, because for me, it was like there was so much talk about, okay, like the first time that you ever, like, you don't want to let that first time be lost, because if you have that with somebody and then you marry somebody else, you're still gonna be part of you is with that other person, and it like created like all of this.
Yeah, evangelical purity culture is terrible.
Yeah, it was like, and honestly, so much pressure, not even just my parents, but just like the whole world that I was surrounded in, you know, all the places that I went and the people that we were around, it was like such a big deal that it was very stressful. I even think now that it like sometimes I think now, like, I feel certain ways because of that. Like, I feel like...
Feel certain
still
ways.
Still feel, what? Like, sometimes it will still feel like, wait, is this bad? And then I'm like, no, wait, I'm married, so...
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird, because, like, I'm, like, 34 years old? Like, I haven't had this teaching since I was, like, 15.
Yeah, but it's no joke. It is no joke, man. Like, it's a very, very... It's a topic that carries a lot of gravity with it. Mm-hmm. And if you look at Korn's discography... I think he handles it very well, because, like I said, later on he comes up with songs where he's regretting,
right,
certain, you know, his sexual escapades, and he's, yeah, a little bit older, you know,
yeah,
and he's experienced it after a while. Mm-hmm. So if you just look at this snapshot, it's like, hey, this is fun, but then, okay, go listen to Trash and see how fun it is.
Right.
You
right.
know, it's not fun. So there are, but what's interesting is, this is dealing with his physical inclinations, but Trash is talking about the metaphysical realities of what happens after. Mm-hmm. And that's what we were never told. They never talked to us about how women's emotions were, and how women felt, and how if you do X and Y thing with a girl and then you go tell all your boys and all your boys are snickering at her at the hall, how that makes her feel. Like, we weren't told any of that shit.
Would that have changed anything for you teenagers?
It would have for a lot of us, yeah. Because a lot of us weren't bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, I mean, it wouldn't have, I don't think it would have changed what we would have done in the moment, but how we would have cared for the girls afterwards, I think, would have been different. I think it would have been. I think if we had an older person saying, that's not cool, you could really hurt somebody, you could really damage somebody,
yeah,
then, yeah, yeah. But all we had was,
interesting,
all we had was, you know, the rappers. They offered vegetables and whatever, but, you know, all we had for how to treat people metaphysically during sex was we had the rappers, and the rappers were that hoe,
yeah,
hoe, and,
yeah,
and, you know, publicly, you know, whatever. So, oh, okay, and like, okay, this is, you know, then it was great, because when I had a serious girlfriend, like, I never talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
I never, like, I wouldn't even, people like, yo, so and so, I'd like, don't even go there with me. But if it wasn't a girl that I was like, took seriously, then, yeah, bro, like, da,
mm-hmm,
you know, and it would have influenced me. I would have handled things differently if they would have told us the whole thing. But mm-hmm, they just made it sound like, you know. And then me, I had that conversation with my mom in my head. So I'm like, yeah, I know how to keep myself safe. Like, I don't need any of this shit.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that they were talking about it was just very, just,
wow,
you know,
wow.
That was the main difference. With my mom, there was a lot of gravity to the act.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a lot of, like, implications for you. But she never... That's another thing. If she would have sat me down as a woman and said, this is how it feels as a woman if you're being used by someone. Not raped, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the thing that, like, upsets me about our, yeah, current conversation. Everything is about consent. And nobody's talking about, well, not using a person.
Yes. Yeah.
So if the person allows themselves to be used, then you're fine as a man. And obviously, I don't think so. I think you're responsible. Yeah. You're responsible for the metaphysical as well as the physical. You know, you can be physically okay and get the consent and still emotionally violate someone. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, and I think
they're not talking about that.
And you know, when you're looking at consent and that's just for like just the act, and it is nothing about afterwards, you know what I mean? Like, so it's only about that, and so then it just adds more to,
right?
Okay, it's just about this moment right now, right? But I don't care about you tomorrow.
Yeah. And then the girls, it was crazy because when we were comparing notes, because they separated us, I don't know why, but the girls were basically being told, you guys are taking it too, so just have fun, da 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 da. It's like going to Six Flags, like. So none of us were prepared for the emotional fallout
that's terrible.
You know what's crazy? True story, like, a lot of the activity ticked up after those people showed up at our school.
Yeah.
And then that summer, all the girls became lesbian. That's true story.
Whoa.
I was coming back, I was looking up with my people, because we all came from our respective blocks. I was like, yo, you heard about Erica? Da, 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 da. She's gay. I'm like, what? Erica's gay? What? And then, like, the whole, what's the year? Sophomore year. Everybody was gay all of a sudden. It was very weird. I mean, the vast majority of them, you know, switched back, mm-hmm. you know, but it was just a weird, mm-hmm. weird time. And I those people definitely influenced us a lot.
Wow.
And, you know, I used to watch Bill Maher, and there was a big purity culture thing, and they used to make fun of the Christians or whatever. And a lot of it got lost in translation because the Christians had swung to the other side. But, the way that we handle sex and sexuality in America needs to be, it needs to be developed. And I think,
I agree.
Like, I think the Me Too movement definitely was rooted in a lot of abuses that men were doing as far as like abusing their power and their position. But when I look at some of the other, you know, Me Too stories, I'm like, wait a second. You know, like the Aziz Ansari one's a perfect one where he did everything right.
Yes. Yep.
He did everything right, and oh, very apologetic. And even we just watched a stand up with him, and he was very good about it.
He was.
Like, we all learned something, and yada yada yada.
He still, you know, he felt bad about it. It wasn't like he didn't like make some joke at the, you know, at the end of it to kind of like lighten it. Like,
right.
He like talked about what he had to, and then he moved on. Obviously, but
right.
He didn't make light of any of that situation.
Right. But if you just Google Me Too Aziz Ansari, you'll see like he didn't do anything wrong according to our current culture standards.
Right.
But
or according to the law.
Right. Right. And he didn't. And from a non-biblical standard, he was an absolute gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
But the woman still felt violated in some way, and she couldn't really put her finger on it, so she lumped him into the Me Too thing. And you know, even the most diehard progressive and leftists were like, he didn't do anything to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm screaming at the screen going, yeah, but that's not what she's talking about.
Right.
But we're not allowed to have that conversation anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because,
no, it's true.
Because supposedly women engage sex exactly the way men do. They just want to have fun. It's just like going on a Ferris wheel. There's no difference between how men and women engage. No. It's all just flat. Mm-hmm. There are no differences at all.
And like on the female side of it, like you'll hear, oh, like, you're like the cool girl or the cooler, you know what I mean? If you can just, you know, whatever, not make a big deal and let him do whatever and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Sex in the City. You got these 13-year-old kids sending out naked pictures and stuff. It's crazy. Like I say with Chesterton, if there is a guardrail, you better make damn sure you know why that guardrail is there before you take it off.
Yeah.
And we've taken off the guardrail as far as sexuality goes, and we think that the consent is enough to protect people. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
It benefits dudes a lot, because if you can get the girl to, yes,
check
you off. Said yes, you then you consented. you don't have any emotional responsibility to them.
Right.
Which, you know, it was really interesting, because it's weird, because I actually got the song Trash from Korn was actually extremely influential to me.
We haven't done the song yet.
We'll probably do it later. But we should probably shoot it now. But
yeah, I'd say shoot it now.
The song Trash was extremely instrumental to me in my understanding of sexual ethics. And that happened, I heard Trash like maybe a year after that, that that whole thing with the sex Allison? Education stuff.
Oh.
And it was like, whoa, wait a second.
Wow. But if you would have heard that song before, would it have helped you? Why don't we just move to the next song? Like, let's end this one and just go right into the next one.
All
right,
we're going to do Trash.
Okay, wait, so what are we rating this one, Adidas?
I mean, it's a classic song. I give it a 10. I mean, it's a pretty simple song, but yeah. Because it's so classic, I'm just giving it a 10, and it's corn. What can you do?
Okay, I'm not giving it a 10. I'll give it a 9 because it's a classic, but...
I don't know your name, so what?
Believe that.
Don't know your name, so what?
Let's... All right, so if you want to join us in the next one, go check out Corn Thrashed.
It's Trash.
Oh. You can tell. I don't know what song this is.
Vin out.
Sorry, yo.
Gone. Of something I could never be. It doesn't bother me. Cause I.